Good morning, everybody. So happy that you're here today. I want to say a word as we get started about an upcoming event that's going to be taking place. Our 2016 Ladies Retreat is fast approaching. The deadline to sign up is July the 19th. I want to encourage all the ladies to consider being a part of this great event. There were over 80 ladies that attended this retreat last year, and the feedback was tremendous about how uplifting that this weekend was and what a benefit it was to all those that attended. It's going to be taking place at the same place at the Mainstay Retreat Center again this year, and it'll be a time of great Christian fellowship and learning from God's Word and worship and praise together. The theme this year is called A Heart Like His, and we just want to encourage all the ladies to be a part of this. There's a bulletin board out in the foyer, and there's little brochures that you can pick up. If you've got any information, if you want to know more about this ladies' retreat, then before you leave today, go out there and pick up one of those brochures, and it'll tell you all the information. And if you've got any further questions that are not answered in the brochure, you can talk to Michelle about that, and she'd be happy to answer your questions or direct you to somebody who can answer those questions. And so, again, the deadline for sign-up is not too far away, July the 19th, so be sure and sign up on the bulletin board if you plan to attend. We welcome you here today. We're thankful for those that are with us that are visiting, and certainly all of our members that have gathered here in the name of Jesus today to give Him praise and worship. Among those that are in our gathering here today are some living testimonies to the power of answered prayer, and at least two of those that I want to mention this morning. We're happy to have Brittany Sullivan with us today, as well as little Braylon. We've been praying for both of them, and they're here today, and we're just so ecstatic about their presence here with us, and especially what God's been doing to answer our prayers in their behalf. With prayer in mind, I want us to bow together today as we start the lesson. And in that prayer, I want us to mention our youth that are on the mission trip this week to Ensenada, Mexico, the city of children. You'll notice there's a huge gap right over here, and that's because they're worshiping today in Mexico with some precious children and serving them. So let's pray together and get started in our lesson time. Our Holy Father, You are perfect in all of Your ways, and we are flawed in need of Your grace, and we are grateful that You give it, and we are thankful that You have sent Jesus and Your Spirit to be the means by which our salvation has been made sure. As we think on our ways, we ask that You help us to turn the direction of our feet toward Your instructions, that our minds and our hearts and our hands would be responsive to what Your truth is communicating to us, that You would be our teacher today, and that we would be students, that we would not hasten to obey, that we would not delay to keep Your commandments. I pray, Father, that You would help us in our pursuit to be disciples of Your Son in the everyday decisions of real life. And we are grateful, Father, as we close this prayer, for the focus of our youth ministry here and all those kids and chaperones that even right now are practicing pure and undefiled religion by helping the fatherless and the orphans in the city of children in their hour of need. Bless that effort that they might be blessed and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking the last few weeks about what it means to be real life disciples of Jesus. And in this focus, we're going to continue this morning about how that really disciple making is the main thing. It is the main thing in your individual Christian walk, and it is the main thing that we should be doing collectively as a church. It is the main thing. There is no other thing but this. is to make disciples. And to kind of get that started, I want to share with you a story I've shared, I think, in the past. But I remember one time reading about Flight 401. It was a flight that was bound for Miami during the holidays from New York City. It was filled with holiday passengers. And as they approached the Miami airport, there was a little light on the instrument panel that the pilots noticed that indicated that the landing gear was not responding and was not coming down. So the plane looped over the Everglades numerous times as all of the cockpit crew tried to check their instrumentation, trying to determine, has the landing gear not deployed or is the light bulb defective? And each of the crew members took their turn examining the light bulb and fiddling with the light bulb until, of course, they were so focused on that light bulb that nobody noticed that the plane was losing altitude. Finally, the plane dropped into the swamp and many people were killed in that crash. Now, just imagine in that airplane, many experienced crew members, high-priced, seasoned pilots, messing around with a 75-cent light bulb, all the while the entire airplane crashed and many passengers were lost. You see, this crew of this airplane had momentarily forgot the most basic rule of flight. Don't forget to fly the plane. Now, I think a lot of times the same thing happens with us as Christians, as churches of Jesus Christ. We can become so busy, as I'll just speak for myself, as church leaders, we can become so busy putting out all the little petty fires, focusing on so many insignificant issues in the church that we lose sight of what the church is supposed to be doing. So the church, you see, can become so overprogrammed with so many activities, good things in fact, programs and projects and ministries and committee meetings and banquets, all of them very good things and blessings to many people, but we become so focused on those things with so many plates in the air, so many wheels spinning, that we really might not actually be accomplishing anything of eternal significance. You see, the church can be guilty of forgetting her primary objective, making disciples. Jesus made clear that's the main thing. It's our singular mission. He told us but one thing to do before he left this world. Go, or as you are going, make disciples of all the nations. So if we're not making disciples individually, collectively, then we, in fact, are failing our purpose as Jesus followers. No matter what else we do, we're failing our purpose. I think in order to understand what that purpose is, what our mission is as disciples, we need to really first kind of go back to the drawing board and ask a more fundamental question, and that is, what is a disciple? And we began trying to answer that question last week by looking at a passage in Luke chapter 14. We just looked at one verse. And we explored, both in the sermon and also in our discussions on Sunday night last week, what is a disciple? Well, I want to continue that discussion today because I think it's an important one. We've really got to get this right. You can't produce something that you don't understand. So we've got to understand exactly what a disciple is. And I just want to again look at one verse today because Jesus gives us one verse in Matthew chapter 4. Matt, you might want to look at it yourself. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19, he gives one very simple statement, but it is a comprehensive definition of what it means to be a disciple. Okay, I want to read it to you. Here it is. You ready? Very simple, but comprehensive. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of people." Okay, so we see three concepts here. that I want us to explore a little bit in the next few moments about what it really means to be a disciple and what we're trying to produce. If disciple making is the main thing, the main task He gave us as individuals and together as a church, then we've got to understand what we're trying to produce. We're trying to produce disciples. Well, what is a disciple? Three ideas here. A disciple is somebody who knows and follows Jesus. A disciple is someone who is constantly being changed by Jesus. And a disciple is somebody who has embraced and has accepted the mission of Jesus. So let's look at those three in turn. First of all, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who knows and follows Jesus. And we get this by the first part of this statement. Jesus tells these boys that day on the Sea of Galilee, first and foremost, He says, follow Me. Now, we're looking at Matthew 4, but the other gospel writers tell us about this story too. And in Luke's account, Luke tells us that before Jesus told them to follow Me, He had first helped Peter and John to do something that was amazing. They caught this miraculous catch of fishes. So many fish, in fact, in those nets that it began to almost sink their boat. They had to call for backup to help them to catch two boatloads of fish. And Jesus essentially turns to them after they're just shocked by this, the results of this catch. He says, okay, now it's time, guys. Leave these nets. Follow Me, and I'm going to teach you how to catch people instead of fish. So they were overwhelmed. You see it because Peter, when he sees the miraculous catch, he says, Lord, get away from Me. I'm a sinful man. He is so overwhelmed by the power of Jesus. Because they fished all night. These guys are professional fishermen. They know all the hot spots to fish. They fished at the right times. They'd caught nothing all night. And then just at a word, they catch more fish than they probably ever caught in a single catch ever in their lives. They're so overwhelmed by the power that Jesus demonstrates that at least they have a basic understanding of who Jesus is, and to the point that they're so overwhelmed by it that they leave everything that they'd ever known in their former life. They left their nets, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. Now this is extraordinary, and I don't know if we realize just how extraordinary that it is. Because Jesus' invitation with these two words, follow Me, is a revolutionary statement considering who He's talking to. Because in first century Jewish culture, students began seeking out rabbis or teachers that they would follow from a very young age. And the most popular rabbis would begin getting requests from possible students that they might, can I be your student? They'd get those requests very early and many requests. And so from all those requests, the rabbis started weeding out the best potential students by age 6. And by the time that a boy was 13 or 14 years old, it was already clear whether or not he was going to be serious about being a disciple of the rabbi or not. By that time, he would have memorized many of the books of the Torah, the law of the Old Testament. And he would have, if he in fact passed the rigorous screening by the rabbi, then the rabbi would say to the student, okay, you've passed the test, you've proven yourself, now come and follow Me. So the student then would leave his family and his village, and he would go and live with the rabbi, following him everywhere that he went, trying to be just like his teacher. But if the student was not the best of the best, the top of his class, the best potential, then he would be sent home by the rabbi to go learn a trade, a common trade like fishing. So you see, rabbis didn't waste their time in first century Jewish culture with the youth that didn't have it. So do you see how revolutionary this is, that Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee to a motley crew of ragamuffins on the Sea of Galilee, these rugged fishermen, again, uneducated, most likely boys, ages 14 to 16 is probably what they were. Boys that had not sought out a rabbi to follow, they had just satisfied themselves with common trade. And Jesus goes to them, and rather than them seeking him out, he seeks them out, and he chooses them. And he basically says, I have faith in you. Now come and follow me. Do you see how revolutionary this is? This invitation that Jesus gives his disciples to follow him is something that is an unbelievable gift of grace. And it's an invitation that he makes to all of us, that regardless of our past, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our capabilities, regardless of our potential, he says to all of us, come on and follow me. So what is a disciple? We see from these two words, follow me, a disciple is a person who responds and accepts the invitation of Jesus. Accepts the call, responds to the call, and understands who Jesus is, that he is Lord and Savior, and makes the decision to follow him. You see, a disciple is a person who chooses to make Jesus the single authority for his or her life. So what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who knows and follows Jesus. But then secondly, he says, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. See, after inviting these boys to follow him, Jesus reveals what his real intentions are. Jesus' intentions for them and for you is he didn't just invite you to say, hey, follow me and I'll take care of everything and I'll be your Savior. He says, no, follow me. I want to change who you are. I want to shape you. I want to make you into something that you're not already. Jesus chose regular people on Galilee's shore that day, people that these boys that religious leaders would have no doubt passed by. And he made clear that he can shape them into something. He says, I'm going to make you. You see, what is a disciple? A disciple, by definition, you got to get this. I've got to get this. I got to embrace this truth that a disciple is a person who is allowing Jesus to constantly shape his or her life. Jesus gave his word, his teaching, as a shaping agent, a shaping force for your life. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit after he left to be a great internal change agent for your life. The work of God is to produce a change of heart. Not just a change of mind, but a change of mind that results in a change of heart to shape your character, your personality even, your behavior, into the image of Christ. And what that requires is that you have a renewal of thinking, a renewal of mind, a pruning of your life behaviors, a result that results in the fruit of the Spirit being born forth in your life. The character traits of the Spirit of Christ living in you. So, let me just put it real straight to me and to you. The truth is, what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who is being made into something. So, point blank, if you're opposed to change, you cannot be a disciple. Because at its core, a disciple is a lifestyle that is devoted to continual change of life. For a disciple of Jesus, all of life is repentance. So, what is a disciple? A disciple is not only someone who knows and follows Jesus, but a disciple is someone who is always being changed by Christ. To be a disciple means that you not only know who Jesus is, but that truth is moving down into your heart and changing your character, and then it's transforming and extending outward to your hands as you embrace the mission of Jesus. And that's the third thing that Jesus says about a disciple. Follow me, come and know me, and follow me. I will make you, a disciple is being constantly changed, but then thirdly, I'm going to make you into something specific. A fisher of people. Jesus had a clear reason for inviting these boys that day and inviting you. He's got a clear reason for saying to you, follow me. He's not just saying, follow me. He's saying, follow me and I'm going to make you, change you. Into what, Lord? I'm going to change you into somebody who embraces and joins with me in my specific mission for this world. He says, you're no longer going to be fisher of fish. I want you now to go after people. So when you follow Jesus and you spend time with the creator of reality, you begin to see things differently. If you really have embraced the first stage of discipleship, follow me, you know who Jesus is and you're following him and you're observing his behavior, it's going to begin to radically change your outlook and perspective toward life. If you're really following Jesus as Lord and Savior, and He is changing you and making you into somebody you've not always been, you're beginning to wake up to the reality that life is not about stuff. You begin to see life for what it really is and really begin to care about what really matters, and that's people. Fishers of people. People are what matter most. Relationships are what matter most. I like what Francis Chan said on one occasion. He said, and boy, this hurts. He has a way of doing that. He said, our greatest fear, your greatest fear in life should not be a failure. Your greatest fear should be of succeeding at things that don't really matter. So what really matters in life? When it's all said and done, what will have really mattered? In the final analysis, when the EKG flatlines and they put you in the ground, what will have mattered? Only the relationships that you've invested in. Relationship with Christ, relationship with other believers, and making other believers, taking as many people to heaven with you as you can. You see, I mean, bottom line, it's this. What matters most in life are the people we know. The people we know and the people that we love who don't know Jesus, they will be eternally lost unless they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if you really believe that, it will absolutely change everything about you, the way that you think, the way that you pray, the way that you spend your time, the way that you spend your money will be completely changed. Why? Because Jesus says, follow me, and I'm going to make you, I'm going to transform you and change everything about you to conform to a singular purpose that you will be fishing for people. Jesus says, by definition, that's what a disciple is that you join his mission of disciple making. To put it bluntly, and I said this a few weeks ago, I think in a Sunday night lesson, not everybody heard it, but to put it bluntly, if you're not making disciples, Jesus is saying you're not a disciple yourself. As the great British Baptist preacher of the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, once said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Now, why is that? That sounds really, really, that's pretty heavy. Why is that? Because Jesus says here, a disciple is committed to the mission of Christ. Jesus didn't just save you to save you. He saved you for a purpose. Go and make disciples, he says. This is our first and our only mission. To put it directly, if we do everything else, but we don't make disciples, we failed. If we do nothing else, but we make disciples, we won. It's that simple. It really is. So, how do we get about doing this task? That's what I want to share with you here by introduction here as we draw this lesson to a close. But then in the weeks to come, God willing, as we continue the series, we're going to talk about how are we going to get this done? How are we going to embrace this mission and truly be real life disciples of Jesus? Well, I think first of all, you got to understand that to make a disciple, be committed to that mission, to make a disciple, you can't mass produce disciples of Jesus. You cannot have just the right program, the right mechanism to just turn out disciples. Disciples, by their nature, must be handcrafted. And that is why Jesus gave that mission to each one of us individually, not just all of us collectively. Each one of us have the obligation, by definition of being a disciple, is to go and be disciples making disciples. That's what a disciple is. Because each person has to be handcrafted. I want you to get a scrap piece of paper. Find a piece of paper somewhere, either in your Bible, in a purse. Borrow one, beg one from somebody. Get a card out of the front of the pew or whatever. Get a piece of paper. Find a piece of paper and something to write with, and I've got a little challenge for you. I want everybody to do this, okay? Everybody do this. I'm going to give you a minute, okay? Here's a challenge for you to do. All right, some of you just woke up, okay? I'm asking you to do something here, okay? So I want you to do something for me. I want you to take a scrap piece of paper and a pen or pencil, and I want to give you a minute, and I want you to write down the top five sermons that you've heard that drew you closest to Jesus. You got a minute. Top five sermons that you've heard that have drawn you closer to Jesus. I'm going to give you a minute. Okay, now next assignment, I'm going to give you a minute, and I want you to write down the top five people who have most helped you to draw closer to Jesus. Top five people who have helped you to draw closer to Jesus. You have a minute. Okay, I have no doubt which one of those was easier for you to do. I love God's Word, and I love preaching God's Word. I believe in the power of the spoken truth of God. I love teaching people God's truth. But the simple fact of the matter is, the way disciples are made are through relationships. Through being apprenticed to Jesus. You see, the way that we make disciples are handcrafted. If you're going to make a disciple of Jesus, that happens primarily through imitation, not through information. Disciples of Jesus are primarily made through imitation, not just through information. You see, discipleship happens by entering into intentional relationships with people who are dedicated to following Jesus and helping guide each other along the way. You see, disciple making requires apprenticeship or on-the-job training accompanied by some study. So in order to make disciples, you see, we need each other. Disciple making is all about intentional relationships. Now, you might think for a second, well, that's a pretty huge task. How am I going to accomplish that? Well, guess what? The Lord has not left you alone in that. I know we all feel in some ways inadequate in the task of going and making disciples. But Jesus gave us a promise along with the charge. He didn't just say, go make disciples. He said, in making disciples, I will give you everything you need to accomplish that command. And part of what you need is the promise of my presence. He said, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. No matter where you go, to the ends of the earth, if you're on mission for Jesus, the Lord will be with you. And He will help you. And He will equip you with everything you need to accomplish the task. Now, I got one other challenge for you. I want you to take for just a minute, and I want you to write down the name of one person that you want to intentionally try to nurture a relationship with for the purpose of helping to move them into maturity in Christ. All right, write down the name of one person that you want to really focus on to try to help make them into a disciple, either initially or help to mature them in discipleship. So write the name of one person. I'm going to give you just about 30 seconds to do that. Now I want you to take that name, And I want you to put that name somewhere that you'll see every day. And over the next 3-6 months, I want you to pray to God to open doors for you to help disciple that person. Ask God to give you the courage and the wisdom and the focus to be on mission. The mission of disciple making with this person. Ask God to help you to be a disciple. A disciple who is being changed by Jesus. Maybe you need to be changed in your resistance to this mission. You need to ask God, change me and make me more accept this mission. Lord, help me to be made into somebody who catches people for you. I've got a little video here I'm going to show now. They're going to bring that video up, and this video is going to demonstrate the power of identifying who is your one.
Stop me if you've heard this one. You grow up, you graduate high school, you attend the best college you can get into, and a few years later you graduate again. You marry the perfect girl and move into a small... And it's not a gimmick. Most importantly, it's not impossible. It's one person boldly making a commitment to bringing one other person to Christ. And it all starts by asking the question, who's your one?
So, who is your one? Who's your one person that you want to identify to really focus in on them for the purpose of helping them to mature to be like Jesus? Because whenever you make a disciple, you're making a disciple who makes disciples. And imagine the impact that we could have on this community and in our world if we would all be real life disciples. Disciples who know and follow Jesus. Disciples who are constantly being pushed and changed daily to be more like Him in character. Disciples who have embraced and are totally sold out to the mission of Jesus to go and make disciples, to go be fishers of people. Well, when we look to Jesus, what you and I see in our Lord is someone who came to this world to make all of us His disciples. But I want you to know this morning that whenever He came to die for the world, He didn't just come to die for all of us collectively. He first set His sights on you individually. You need to know that when you read John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His Son to die for us to be saved. That the world for Jesus was not the world, but the world was you. You were His one. Every one of us, He set His sights personally on us. I want to share the words as we close of a song that really impacted me whenever I was in college. A song called Face to Face, written by Aaron Sain and Frank Hyland. It has two different choruses, and I just want to close with the words of the song. Listen to this. These are spoken as if Jesus is speaking these words. And He says to you, before you were even born, I wore a crown of thorns so that you and I could be together. I lived my life for you. I gave my life for you. So one day we could spend forever face to face. While shaking from the pain, I thought about your name. So glad I could take your place there. I let them torture me and nail me to a tree so that one day you and I could spend forever face to face. Jesus did that for you. Won't you come and accept His gracious gift of salvation? If we can help you in your response by being born again of water and the Spirit, maybe you need prayers of encouragement or a personalized Bible study or prayers with the shepherds of this flock in the library. If we can help you in any way, come to Jesus and embrace being a follower, a real life disciple of Jesus as we stand and as we sing.